after Samson, he's dead, 20 years judging Israel. Now, we're going to take a look at the last few chapters. May not seem to make sense to you. They really do. But sometimes they don't seem like it. And so we'll just take them verse at a time and just see what it says. And hopefully we'll get a grasp of it. There was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said to his mother, "The 1,100 shekels of silver that were stolen or taken from you, about which you cursed..." His mother had some money stolen, and she cursed the person that stole it. Cursed be that individual. It looks like Micah's a little bit of a superstitious kind of guy. He heard the curse. He says, "About which you cursed and spoke of also in my ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. I stole the money from you." And his mother said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son." You read that and you think, what on the earth? What? There's a national forest, or a few of them, but a beautiful location up in Canada. And you ride a tram, like in many places, up to the top. And when you get to the top, there is a gift shop and a restaurant, of course. It just goes without saying. Got to be. And people would go up to this beautiful site, and you could see mountaintops all around. It was a beautiful view. And people would go there and spend the day. And there was a herd, a flock, a group, a covey, whatever you like to call them, of sheep that would graze up there at the top. The shepherd would have his sheep there near the restaurant. Well, people like you and I, sheep are cute, you know. You kind of want to pet them and see if you can get close to them. And so people began to feed them stuff from the restaurant. Peanuts, tacos, popcorn, potato chips. And the sheep really began to enjoy. I think they got hooked on the salt, is what happened. And they would even eat the bags, because people like us would throw the bag down when we were finished with it, and the sheep would eat them. And they developed a taste for that food, and they quit grazing. They just waited for people to come along and feed them popcorn and chips and tacos and salsa. Sheep food, you know. And the sheep began to lose weight. And as they began to lose weight, then the mothers couldn't produce healthy milk for the little ones. And the herd began to die off. And one of the rangers, if you will, made the statement there about the national forest, about the sheep at the top. He said, "They developed a taste for junk, and now they're dying." Now, I personally am into junk food. It's not good for you. But the reason I'm telling you this is so that you'll understand what's happening in chapter 17. Israel is into junk. Junk food, and I'm probably more guilty than any of you, so don't take this like I'm angry at you or anything. It's junk food has no nutritional value. I hate to say it. It destroys your appetite for what is good. Pretty soon you'd much rather have a burger and grease than something that's good for you. Now, whatever you eat is, of course, your business, and so that doesn't matter. But the point is, now we take it onto a spiritual level, and what's happening is we're seeing spiritual junk food. That's what's happened to Israel. A spiritual junk food. They got a taste for that salty stuff, And pretty soon that's what they were going for, but they weren't getting the solid food. They were no longer interested in God's solid food. Paul talks to the New Testament believers, some of them, and he says this, you should be eating solid, healthy meat, but you can't. I'm having to feed you milk still. You're still babies, he says. You got to grow up. No nutritional value. It destroys your appetite for what's good. People in those days were no longer interested in God's solid food, which is His Word. They became addicted to spiritual junk food. Now, bring that on up into the 90s. Spiritually. Because you do know that it's not good for your body, but Jesus made it very clear. It's not what goes into a man's body that will harm him. It's what comes out. In other words, our heart is the issue here. And so we're taking in spiritual junk food. What do you read? Do you read books that make you want that out there? They're Christian books. It's not that. They're Christian books. We have Christian romance novels. Oxymoron. Like Postal Service. Christian romance novels. Oh, man, you can read all sorts of books and listen to all kinds of tapes about those out there. We have Ron come and share with us. We have Wes come and share with us. And you listen, you think, oh, it's so beautiful. Oh, I got to go. Yeah, well, you're dreaming. Many are called, few are chosen. And of course, we learned all of us can't go. Are you just reading things and listening to things because you love to hear them? Are you hooked on junk? This family here, they're eating spiritual junk food. They're living spiritual junk lives. That's what you see. That's why it's easy to understand when you see what's going on. Look, there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah, and he said to his mother, I stole the almost $5,000. $5,000. And that was over 3,500 years ago. $5,000. That's a stealing a lot of money. Obviously a wealthy family. How do you steal 5,000 bucks from your mom's purse? That's wrong to do. But he was afraid because she put a curse on. Cursed be the person who stole that money. And he's a little nervous. Oh my gosh. Because they had adopted a lot of weird superstitions. And so he said, gosh, I heard you say that curse. You said it right. I was in front of you. So I got to admit, I took the money. And so his mom says, you are so bad. You know what you need? She needs to turn him over her knee at however old he was, 30 or so, and give him a spanking. No. What happened was she said, you're such a good kid. He's a thief, but isn't he an honest one? You know, I spent a little time in the police department in Las Vegas, and there, you know, it's an interesting job, and people are always innocent. Always. Did you just do that? Well, yes and no. I'm open. Let's hear it. Well, they made me mad, and you don't understand. I'm under brother. Well, at least you're an honest murderer. Nice guy. His mother should have straightened him out a long time ago instead. She said, what a blessing you are. Blessed be thou of the Lord. What a good kid. He stole it, but he's being honest and he gave it back. Nothing happened to him. He got in no trouble. Thou shalt not steal. You can find that in the book of Exodus chapter 20. One of the commandments, you shouldn't steal. Don't take things that don't belong to you. Well, he did. And you notice right away, they're just not really into too much the Word of God. They do some sort of religious things, but it's not really the Word of God. They bend it, they break it, they fold it over here, just and they're sort of doing and sort of not. Are you and I doing the same thing? Are we in the spiritual junk food? Now, what do you listen to? What do you spend your time reading? Do you spend hours reading? And if you do, is it God's Word or is it books about God's Word? Where are you? Are you getting spiritual junk food? And if you are, then you're not as healthy as you ought to be spiritually. If you've been wondering what's up, it's because God's Word is key. We don't worship the Bible. We worship God Almighty through Jesus Christ, His Son. What do you listen to? The question is for all of us. You know, New Year's coming up soon. That's the time, I think. Well, yesterday was the time. Today's the time. But it's always the time to change your mind. With New Year comes the idea, we start over. And you see it all over the world. I mean, already in the news, you're getting the top stories from 1990, whatever last year was. You're seeing the top stories. They're doing reviews. They're showing pictures. Because that's now ending. We look back, that's over, and this is going to start. How's it going to start for you? We'll talk about it Wednesday night. But I mean, how's it going to start for you? Listen, the time will come. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. If you're taking notes. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. He says to Timothy, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts." You see, they get used to certain things, and that's what those sheep eat. Now they don't even graze eating the healthy stuff. "After their own lust, they heap to themselves teachers." Do you know why some of these men and women alike are still teaching today? Because somebody out there wants to hear them. That's why. Are they teaching what's right? Many times, maybe not. We quote from people, we listen to people, we turn the radio on, and that person really isn't living a life after God at all. But yet we like what they have to say. It tickles ears. That's what the rest of the verse says. "They're after their own lusts, they heap to themselves teachers because they have itching ears." Not the teachers. Don't blame it on the teachers. If you wouldn't support that, it wouldn't go on. But as long as you support it, it continues on. And we've seen that in sad cases, television and radio, years and years and years. Over the years, you've seen things that should not have continued that were held up by who? Believers, not non-believers. Non-believers were laughing. But believers were holding it up because they wanted to hear that kind of thing. Ask yourself this question. Answer it right now in your own heart. Don't raise your hands. What kind of thing really gets you excited? Is it the Bible? Is it just facts? What really gets you excited about it? Having itching ears. That means ears that need to be tickled. They heap to themselves teachers. The Bible is clear that the days that we live in, we're going to pick our own teachers. We're going to heap to ourselves teachers because having itching ears. "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Now, how is it possible to keep me from turning to fables? There's only one way I know. I would naturally go after exciting, fun stuff. The only thing I know is to stay with the Word of God. That's the only thing that will keep me in the right direction and on the right walking path. That's all. And see, we've got men and women here who are sort of playing with it. It's spiritual junk food. And so you see this. "When he gave back the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother," well, his mother said, "You know what? I had dedicated every penny of that." The King James said, "I had wholly dedicated," wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, "wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son. I have given all that completely or wholly to the Lord to make graven image and a molten image." I dedicated that money, all of it, to make a graven image. Does anything sound funny about that? Yeah. "Thou shalt not make any graven images." Why? Have you ever? Yes, you have. Of course you have. Don't lie to me. Has anybody ever passed around a picture of you that was not flattering? Ah, you've been there, huh? You know, that you were just going to eat some food in your natural state, and someone caught you. And they go, look at Bob, look at her, look at him, look at those guys. And you go, oh, I'm so embarrassed. Don't show that to people. Why? Well, basically pride. But it gives you an idea of why God does what he does. God is holy. He is almighty. From everlasting to everlasting. He doesn't appreciate us trying to draw pictures of him. Or trying to pass around pictures of him, because they aren't flattering, because no one has ever seen God. So he says, I don't want you to make any images. They're not going to do justice. They're going to give people the wrong idea. Or even worse, with the way the Bible's going here, these people don't have a real good picture of God. You know what's worse than having an ugly picture of you? Having a picture of somebody else and having people put your name on it. How would you feel if the paper headlines tomorrow came out and there was a picture of Adolf Hitler, but under it was your name instead? You'd call the paper and say, hey, wait a minute, that's not me. And that's what people are trying to do. And that's what this lady is going to do. She's going to make graven images. God said, no, I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. You will not make those images. To make a graven image and molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. So he gave his money, verse 4 says, yet he restored the money to his mother, and his mother took all of it, like she promised. No, what does the Bible say? Although it was wholly dedicated to the Lord, his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder and made thereof graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. Now you know where he gets his thieving. Now you see a little bit of where he's learning to be what he is. He learned it from his parents. I had wholly dedicated that unto the Lord, all 1,100. So I'll give 200 of it to God. You're ripping off. You've stolen. What happens to the other 9? That's where her son has learned it. No wonder she didn't say much to him. And the man Micah, the Bible says, well, when they made the images and the molten image, they were in his house, in Micah's house. God said, no, you won't do that. And the man, Micah, had a house of gods. And he made an ephod. Ephod, that's what the priest, the high priest, would wear. Going into the temple, going into the holy place, going into the holy of holies. Now what is he doing making an ephod? And he made a teraphim. A teraphim are little images, statues, little gods that you'll see in ancient times. Babylonians had many of those, the Egyptians. Little teraphim, little statues of gods. And he consecrated one of his sons and made him a priest. Now who are supposed to be the priests? Of the tribe of Levi. Remember Aaron? Of those would be the priests. But here is a man who makes false gods, steals money, when he's afraid he might get in trouble because of a curse, gives the money back, his mother holds back part of the money, they make little graven images, they're in trouble all the way down the line so far. They are sort of doing God's word, just bits and pieces that they like. You see, they like to listen, but they're really not interested in the whole solid stuff. They just want, they're having junk food. And they're not real healthy because of it. And so he makes one of his sons priests. Now look at verse 6. In those days, see, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I'll read it to you again. In those days, there was no king in Israel, verse 6 says. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now listen closely, because the Bible's clear there. Micah and his mom and all the people, even his son, who he made a priest, they weren't doing what was wrong in their own eyes. The Bible clearly says they were doing what they thought was right. How did they get there thinking that would be okay? How did they get there thinking that would be right? They didn't know the Word of God. They began to pick and choose. Interesting, isn't it? They did not do what was wrong in their own eyes. They were doing what was right. He wouldn't have done it if he thought it was wrong. He was doing it because he thought it was right. How could you think that's right when you know the commandments? Well, forgot the commandments. And in those days there was no king. In other words, they had rejected God. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Well, that's good, and I'll do that. It'll bring glory to God. Listen, who was he worshiping in his own heart? I mean, in his own mind. He was worshiping God. What do you think he got an ephod for? Because God said that's what a priest has to wear. Who's he trying to worship? He's trying to worship God. But he's trying to do it in his own way, on his own level, and in his own opinion. Do you see that today? A society of violence, of idolatry, of gross sexual immorality. And the people were doing that because they thought it was right. In other words, it was right in their own eyes. They wouldn't have done it if they thought it was wrong. If they believed it was wrong, they wouldn't have done it. God is saying they did what they thought was okay to do. How did they get there thinking that was okay? And look at our society today. Christians, how much of the Bible do we know? Are we men and women of the Word, or are we men and women of the books that are written about the Word? Pastor Chuck says it very often, and I love it, and it's so true. You ought to read the Bible more often because it sheds a lot of light on all those commentaries you're using. And that's the truth, isn't it? Are we reading our Bibles? Do you believe what God's Word says, or are we just making this up as we go along? I see people quoted. I see people hear them on the radio. I see them on television, and I think what they're saying is absolutely not true. And Scripture shows it's not true. Yet people are listening and going for it. As a matter of fact, what they're saying is okay, but it's got really nothing to do with hearts on fire for God. But that's what people seem to want to hear. You can't stop them from listening. I mean, it's a free country. Violence, idolatry, gross sexual immorality. And all that because the people thought that was right to do. As I look across our nation today and you see the things that are happening, the violence, the gross sexual immorality, and you talk to people and you say, do you think this is all right? And they say, yes, it's fine. Can you show me in Scripture? Yes, God says we should love one another. I listened to a call-in program the other day and a lesbian lady, I guess... Oxymoron, I know. She called in and she was very nice. And the man and the woman on the talk show were very nice. And she explained how it was okay. And she quoted from Scripture. God is love. And beloved, let us love one another. He that doesn't love doesn't know God, for God is love. And of course, that was right directly out of Scripture. And yes, it was true. And it was out of 1 John. And you certainly couldn't argue with what she said. That was fact. But how you could get there from where she was, I wasn't understanding. Neither was she, and neither were the people involved. And so they all three decided, everything's fine. And I thought, God's Word says something else. But you see, having itching ears, it's not that interesting to hear the Bible. We've had people tell us that they'd rather go to another church, which is good because I want people to go where God is taking them, of course. But they'd rather go to another church because we just do too much Bible. And I think, you know, I don't blame you for well, I don't know what I feel, but this I know. I don't do too much Bible, certainly. We ought to do more, and we're praying this coming year of more ways to do more Bible. But if you want to talk about science, psychology, the latest theories, you can pack the room. If you want to just talk about beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. He that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that doesn't love doesn't know God, for God is love. Go do that. People say, I've heard it, man. I don't want to hear that. Where are we? Paul says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but it'll thrill them to hear anything else. Are we there? I believe so. And what are the results of it? Watch. People are doing gross sin, but in their eyes and their minds and in their hearts, it's okay. That's not bad. Their value systems, their moral standards, and their religious doctrines had all lost touch with reality, haven't they? They're not living in reality. They have forgotten the Word of God, yet they think they're worshiping God. He gets an ephod. He even has his son become a priest. It's against God's law, but he still does it. Because, see, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Well, situational ethics. Isn't that what we have? If it's okay for this period in time, and if it fits what you're doing, and if it's all right in your eyes, go ahead and do it. Well, then why have a Bible at all? Why does God say to me, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me? Why would he say that to me and then tell everybody else, just do your own thing, just go for it, however you feel, whatever you think? That's a New Age philosophy. It has crept into the church. And we're in trouble. But you see, it doesn't just stop there. Worship is to be done in the tabernacle only. Specific priest tasks. You'll find that in Deuteronomy 12, 14, 16. Of course, the commandments. One place you'll find them listed in Exodus 20. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem. Well, before I go on, let me show you self-made religion, self-made spiritual junk food. He stole from his mother. He made and he worshipped graven images. He established a false priesthood. Yet in his heart, the whole time, he thought that was all right. That's right. Remember, he wouldn't have done it if he had thought it was wrong. He thought it was okay. We all need to rethink our spirituality. We all need to get back to God's Word and begin to say, what does He say? What does He want from me? What does God, in Jesus Christ, what does He want from me? Now, as you see that Micah had his self-made religion, now we meet another young man, a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah. He was a Levite, and he traveled there. Where? To Mount Ephraim, where Micah lived. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to travel where he could find the place. Now, if you remember the Old Testament, you remember reading through, you remember the Levitical law, you remember what the Levites were told. They were given certain cities, and they were given certain responsibilities. They were full-time ministry. Now, I've been called to full-time ministry, and so it's really God who should tell me where to do that. But in the Old Testament, full-time ministry, you didn't just go pick a city. There were only certain cities where the Levites would work. And Bethlehem wasn't one of them. I don't know what he was doing there. But he didn't like it there either. He's headed to find someplace else. What is he looking for? Well, the Bible says this. He's just looking for a place. He's not content with his calling. He's looking for someplace else to go that way. They're not content. And they're always in their mind going to serve God. And I know Helping and serving are two different things. Many people are helpers. They see that you're having a hard time, they jump to help. But some have a heart to serve. And that's what we need to pray for. Give me a heart to serve. And see, this guy is not content. I know this. If I'm called of the Lord to teach, I won't wait till He moves me to Idaho. I'll teach where He lets me. If you're called of the Lord as an evangelist, you won't wait until a stadium fills with 500,000. You know, you'll share Jesus right where you work. If you're called to be a pastor teacher or a pastor, you'll pastor just naturally around people. What I'm telling you is, I believe when you've got a heart for God, you'll be doing already what He's called you to do. You won't be saying, well, 5 years from now, you know, when I've studied my Bible up, I'm going to be. No, you won't, because you're not now. And I think we all see that very, very clearly in our own lives on a daily basis. And see, this man is not satisfied, and he's out looking for a place. Well, God's Word told him where he ought to be, but no, I'm going to go do my own thing. Self-life is what we call it, and you look at him. He departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place, and he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he was traveling. And Micah said to him, well, where are you coming from? Whence comest thou? And he said to him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah. I'm going to travel just to see if I can find something to do. I'm just out on an adventure. And Micah said to him, well, stay with me. Live here. Dwell with me. And be unto me a father and a priest. Hey, cool, a real Levite. You're a real priest. I'll dump my son. I made him one, but he's not really one. I'd rather really do God's will. Oh, look, God brought me a priest. Where should you worship? In the tabernacle. I'll give you 10 shekels of silver a year. I'll pay you. That's a lot of money. And a suit of clothes and all your food. Room and board and so many dollars per year. And the Levite thought, oh, that's much better than what I was doing before. This is God. And he stays. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. Now he's got an official, real-life priest right out of the tribe of Levi, just like the Word of God says. So God is good. Look what God has done. Is God doing it? No, this is against God's Word. Then Micah said, now I know the Lord will do me good, seeing I have my own priest. What he's saying is, now I know God's blessing. I know God's going to take care of this. How many times have you said that? Two men with no principles get together here. One of them looking for a better life, looking somewhere else, not content, not really doing what he's called to do where he is, going someplace else. I'll find it out there. When I get there, I'll do that. No, he won't. Of course he won't. He's looking for upward mobility. He's looking to better himself. Now, in your job, that's cool. Go for it. Get to the top, wherever the top is. But when you're going to serve, in your ministry, in your walk with the Lord, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you learn to be the servant of all. Learn. How do I learn? I got to serve. I have to learn how to do it. I don't know how. I have to learn to be the servant of all, Jesus says. You know, in the Gentiles, they rule over one another. They lord it over each other. But it shall not be so among you. Whoever will be the greatest among you must become the minister or the servant of all. So he's saying you got to fight your way to the bottom. That's an odd thought, isn't it? Fight your way down. How often do you try that? It's just hard to get a picture of that. So we have two men with no principles. They get together. Micah wanted his own personal priest. The Levite wanted a better job. Took that job right away, but much better pay than what he was getting before. And suddenly, the Levite is an ordained minister. Notice that? Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest. Who consecrated him? Micah. Who's Micah? A guy with a lot of money. How did you get ordained? You can be ordained for $15 in the United States of America. You send it in, they give you a little certificate, $15, and you're ordained. You can marry and bury people, and by the way, legally nowadays, you don't have to have a piece of paper. If you bury somebody, they stay down, normally. That's just the way it works here in this country. Suddenly, he's ordained, but you notice he is not of God. He is not ordained of God. He's ordained by man. And in your life and in mine, I believe we want to follow God. Who do you want to be ordained by? God or man? You want to be ordained by man, it takes nothing. A little money. Find somebody who's really hurting for whatever. That's all it takes. But if you want to listen to God's word, it's a different game. It's a whole different game. Today, He wants to teach you. God, His eyes run to and fro on the earth, the Bible says, looking for someone that He can show Himself strong through. He is looking for vessels, willing servants, that He can work. Now, you guys work in different places. You go to school in different places. So God, through you, ministers and reaches the whole community. But you really do need to be men and women of the Word. And I remember a real good friend of ours. And she would lead worship. But she would put her two kids in her car because she didn't like being home. And I remember those kids just lived in car seats. They lived in those seats 6 and 8 hours a day. I want to be used by God. I want to be used by God. But you know you need to take some time. And people would tell her, get your kids out of the car. The only thing they would eat was whatever you could drive through. Because she didn't like being home. And sometimes I see it me that way. Sometimes we all get into that in our spiritual lives. Yeah, we're busy and we don't really like the job He's given me is hard and it's boring and so come on, something exciting and really we're getting into weird patterns and we're spiritually into junk. And God says, trust me, listen to me. We're told, hide God's word in your heart. Wherewithal or how shall a young man cleanse his ways? You remember that in Psalm 119? The answer, by taking heed to your word. How will I know where to walk? God's word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night to do according to all that is written in it. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have success. God is saying, my word. I've given you my word. As the new year comes in, and we'll talk about this coming week, starting all over, as the new year comes in, I really want to encourage you. Begin to read the Bible. Begin to see, what does it say? Where does it say that? Now, I've been told my whole life this, but I would like to see. Let me look and see what God's Word says. Now, the Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica, Acts chapter 17. Why? Because they would listen to Paul, and they would listen gladly. Then they would go to the Word, and they would check it. They didn't think, oh, that Paul, he's a liar, he's a cheater, he's going to trick us. No, they were glad to hear it. But they wanted to study. They wanted to see it. That's the way you and I should be. When that guy on the radio says, John 3:16 says this, you shouldn't go, ah, you're a liar. Just say, I like to follow along with you. Now, if you're driving, don't do that. But I mean, if you've got a Bible, it's always good to stay with them. And listen, as we'll praise just a moment, I encourage you, you stop and you honestly ask the Lord. He'll tell you, Lord, what gets me excited? Is it stuff or is it your word? Do I have a hunger and a thirst for your word? Or is it really all everything else? They're kind of like there's cake under there, but am I just sticking with the icing the whole way? Do I read books that make me just, oh gosh, wouldn't it be nice to be one of those? Oh my goodness, wouldn't it be nice to be some of these? Those are fine things. Don't get me wrong, books are fine. But you know what? It is time that I became a man of the Word of God, that I began to understand what He is saying, what the Spirit says to the church. Because we're living in days where we're going to be fooled. People are going to, some of them will cheat us on purpose. Some of them won't realize that they're doing it. But either way, false doctrine will come in. How do I protect myself from false doctrine? Condemn the people doing it? No. God loves them. But stay in the Word of God yourself. How do you know what's right? How do you know what's not? You read. You pray. You gather together. When you've got a chance, you talk about it among yourselves. Hey, I was reading John chapter 4, and when Jesus said this, I don't understand it. And you talk together about it, and you're kind of meditating on it yourself. Lord, I don't understand exactly what you mean. How did you want this done? And you begin to listen to God. Say, I want to be used. And then you're actually ministering or serving right now. We're a people that figure that someday we're going to. But I really am convinced that we ought to be right now serving. And every one of you has a gift, and I know you can do something. When I see Micah, and I see him beginning by stealing, and then he doesn't get in trouble for it, you see, there's a problem. I worry about kids today. When they do things that are wrong, I don't think you should beat them. I don't think that that's wisdom, and I don't think that's the Word of God. But I also don't think you ought to ignore it. If they're stealing, if they're lying, if they're cheating, I think you should talk with them. We need to stop this. We're going to have to control this. Something needs to take place. Discipline does need to happen. Don't let the children just go. If you love them, show them the truth. Tell them what God's Word says. Here's a mother who I don't think did that, and it's paying off very well. Now, this before we close, next week we'll take a look, or the next time we get together, we'll take a look at chapter 18, and you're going to notice that this priest, this Levite guy, who took a little bit more money, got a better job, he's really just into upward mobility. He's not going to stay real, real long. He's going to go off with another group that's going to offer him something bigger. And sometimes you see you and I and a heart that we have. We have to be careful that way. In ministry, again, I'm not talking about your job. If God gives you an opportunity to go up, New Testament, Paul even says it, then go for it. But when it comes to ministry, serving, we want to minister to one another humbly, loving one another, considering one another better, and that's hard. It takes the Holy Spirit. Be doing now what you feel called to do. If you feel a calling in your life, there's no calling unless it's there. And if it's there, you won't be waiting 20 years from now. You'll be doing just that very thing. Let's bow our heads together as we close.